Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties, with our co-host today, Teresa Martin, who's one of our agents. Hey, Teresa.
Hello.
Boy, we got a great guest for you today.
That's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to introduce her and get you started. Buying homes or selling homes, land or farms, or want to auction your property within Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank, downtown Palo Mountain, North Carolina. Our website is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's allsuttonproperties.com. This show is dedicated to the Realtors Land Institute and all of its members and staff. Our show sponsor is LandHub.com. View thousands of properties for sale at LandHub.com. Just a program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so make sure you stay tuned. Dr. Barbie always has something of interest, so keep the radio on. Hey, our guest today is Lee Brown. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
Concord, North Carolina.
Good old Concord.
A couple hour away from you.
Yeah, I grew up in Charlotte. My brothers live in Concord, Cold Springs, and one of them lives over, it's a Salisbury address, but Rockwell. So
be careful saying Rockwell is Salisbury address. They take that personal over that.
Well, I have to tell the truth on this show. And I'm a realtor, too, so I have to follow our code of ethics. But anyway... Hey, I'm so pleased to have you on this show. I just want to give a little bit about your background, and actually we could spend the whole show just talking about your background. I got three or four pages of laurels and stuff that you do. You're quite accomplished, and we're so pleased to have you on today. But Lee's a successful realtor, forward-thinking CEO of the number one best-selling author. She is the CEO of One Community Real Estate in Concord, North Carolina, and she'll give you that information at the end of the show, how to get in touch with her. She runs one of the top real estate teams in the country. It's a kicking keynote speaker and loves everything baseball. She even has her own university, Lee Brown University. Over Lee's years as a realtor, she's lived out her motto of hashtag more than houses, and even before they had hashtags. She strives to make her community a better place through personal interactions and positive relationships on a daily basis. Lee is a native of Cabarrus County. She has over 20 years of real estate experience in and around Concord, selling over 3,000 properties. Her understanding and knowledge of the greater Charlotte area, Lee is second to none. With the launch of One Community Real Estate, Lee continues her mission to support and develop realtors who are both leaders and advocates of their own communities while striving to serve buyers and sellers as their realtor advocate. And you're halfway to a realtor's emirate status. Looking at all the stuff that I've been reading, I'd say you're there. But anyway, we wanted to welcome you, and we wanted you to kind of help Teresa. Teresa's been with us a couple of years. I've been doing this almost 30, and of course, Lee, you've got about 20 years. So if you would, maybe let's see if we can help Teresa out and give her some ideas of how to motivate herself, because you're a motivational speaker, and also some pointers on what we do as realtors, and so especially our community. That's one thing that realtors do. I remember after the hurricane down in New Orleans, we had our national convention down there, and I think there was 25 or 30,000 realtors down there for several days, but there was a group of them that actually went out and volunteered and helped clean up the community. We're always doing stuff, Habitat for Humanity, building homes, communities, and so on. So I think that's real important for our public to know that we're not just real estate agents or realtors. We're actually human beings. And we give back. So I'm going to just get quiet here and let you and Teresa talk for a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that part about how realtors are so dialed into their community. Public forgets sometimes that each individual realtor is a micro business. I mean, everybody's an entrepreneur. They're working their specific piece of the business in their area with their contacts. And unfortunately, the media would paint us out to be a giant profession, which we are. There's 1.4 million realtors, but that's 1.4 million entrepreneurs. And I think that during the pandemic, it's really played out to people can really see that because your realtor is your neighbor and the person who coaches your kids in ball. And really, if you want somebody to help out and roll their sleeves up, there's nobody better to ask than the person who's selling houses, businesses, lands, and businesses down the road, because they really understand how we're all in this together. So it's a fun profession to be in. I think you'd agree with me on that, Lou. There's no place we would really belong anywhere else because it's so unique. And, Teresa, I'm sure after just a couple of years in the business, you discover it's in your blood. It really becomes an addiction because realtors love serving our clients. We want to make them happy. We want to find a good resolution to their problems. And it's a fun chase. It's exhausting and heartbreaking sometimes, but the work that we do, we get to see the results, and not everybody has that joy in life.
Makes the soul bump, doesn't it? It gets the old heart blood flowing.
It does. I mean, when you see the smile on somebody's face, when they get that piece of land they wanted, they're going to have a mini farm now, or they got the house, and they're helping their kids buy the first house. You just never know. Whatever they're doing, they're excited because it's a real investment. You know, if you buy stocks and bonds, you used to get stock certificates once upon a time that you could look at, but it's not the same thing as looking at a piece of the American dream, which is what real estate is. And you can see it, feel it, and touch it, and there's something special about that.
Well, I know that my greatest sales have been to young people buying their first home and helping them to find something and helping them find financing and working with them from the beginning to the end and seeing the smile on their face at the end. I don't think there's much more rewarding than that.
Especially when you do it the right way, and it sounds like you've already figured that out, that you educate people and teach them the ins and outs, and then they have more than the piece of land or more than the house. They've got the knowledge of what it means and all the implications in the community, and it's a big deal. And what is amazing to me, too, in dealing with young people, that there's still this myth out there that they need 20% down to do anything with real estate. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why in an era of internet and knowledge at your fingertips, anybody thinks they have to have 20% down. There's so many creative programs out there. If somebody's got the credit score and the desire to make it happen, there's tons of options out there, and that's part of the chase, too, is finding the best solutions.
Yeah, even for our veterans, too. You know, we got special programs for them. And I know that's one of your acronyms assigned to your name, being a
that's
specialist.
That's probably the one
that.
Thing the government gets right for the veterans,
yeah.
The VA loan program. And it was a pain 20 years ago. I remember when I first got into real estate, my preferred lender partner was telling me how hard it would be to help a veteran get a loan. But he told me how. It was just going to be... Back then, they had to drive to Salisbury and get that written piece of paper from the VA office in order to buy a house. But now you can get that online, and the loans are smooth. And I'm very grateful because the men and women who serve this country really should have every benefit we have. And if realtors don't ask that question, sometimes people don't know that benefit's out there. So you always got to be asking.
Well, again, the point is, with the internet and all the information that's out there, if you're listening and you're a veteran, get on there and find out how this works, and then call one of the real estate agents. We know the programs. We can talk you through it, but don't let that get in the way, because there are opportunities for you.
Absolutely. That's another reason you need a realtor in your corner, not just apps and websites, because they're only going to give you what you ask for, and if you don't know what to ask, you might miss out on the best piece of information ever. But the beauty of a good realtor relationship is your best realtors are the biggest busybodies on the planet. We love asking questions, and we listen for information and look for clues and say, oh, did you think about this? Oh, how about this? And that can really be the best advocate you ever had in your corner, somebody that will ask one more question.
Well, every closing that I've done since the first one, I've always let my clients know, thank you for your business, and I sincerely mean that. But also, I'm here for you as long as I'm walking on the earth. And I have friends that I've created, you know, out of the real estate business. Some of my best friends are people I did business with. But I'm there for them for anything, because especially people that move in from an outside area, that's not familiar with things, or who's, you know, a good doctor, or, you know, what's the better school, or, you know, and that's where that community relationship. Now, you know, I'm fortunate because I specialize in land. I work in two states and actually do consulting all over the country and have for years, and I'm not that familiar with the areas. But I always link up with an RLI member, Realtors Land Institute member first, if I can. I always go to the website if I got somebody in Wyoming or Texas or Florida or a place that I'm not familiar with. And then I hook them up with that person because I know the caliber of people they are and their love for land and the interest. And, of course, the educational programs that we have are second to none.
There's one thing that I'm having a problem with right now.
You're having a problem?
Well, it's kind of like messing with my head.
Is this personal?
No.
Okay.
No. Everywhere I turn, everybody's a real estate agent anymore.
Well, there's 111,000 of us
in North
Carolina.
But it's like, is there going to be a point where there are nothing but real estate agents and they're not going to, and it's going to become, I mean, it's got to the point where every time I talk to somebody, well, I'm already talking with a real estate agent. So I guess it's not, are there too many agents? I guess the question should be, how can you differentiate yourself and be a better agent? I think that's probably what I need to try to
do. You're asking the right person.
Yeah, that's why I thought I would bring that up.
The trick is, you know, if anything else in life, you have to figure out what makes you different, what makes you unique. And I always think of a good way to look at a comparison is hairdressers. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let just anybody mess with my hair. There's
me
a reason
either.
That I don't go to Great Clips and Supercuts, but
right.
There's a reason they exist, because somebody wants a different kind of experience than I do. And so it becomes, what do you want to find? Well, I'm middle-aged, and I need to look expensive because I'm wearing this hair every single day. I need it to be really good. And so I had to hunt for somebody who's good making a bottle blonde in North Carolina, not look brassy, not look cheap, and not look peroxided, but cover up the grays. So the man that I use positions himself in the hair market as a blonde whisperer. And so I said, well, I got to find out more about this, and it drew me in. And then I find out that in addition to being good at blonde hair, he takes all the continuing education, and he goes to all the conferences, and he's continually chasing more information about being the best. And that's no different than real estate. If you just want any old realtor, you can find anybody with a license, and you don't even have to have a realtor who's bound by the code of ethics. You could get a licensee who's just out there, a one-man band on their own, and they can probably find the paperwork, and they could probably get you across the finish line, but it might be as much by accident as anything else. If I'm buying and selling real estate, the find is somebody that I can identify with. Because, you know, already mentioning that realtors' big skill is asking questions and listening for clues so we can provide solutions, you need to have somebody you can tell the answers to truthfully. Who's going to pay enough attention to you? Who do you identify with? And that's just a personal reaction we have to people. I always get tickled because there's realtors in every market who succeed even though they are not super competent. And it drives other realtors crazy. Why in the world does the public
don't
hire
be naming
them?
Anybody.
Well, they generally get hired because they're likable, because you have to be likable. And that actually in today's world might be a big differentiator, since we seem insistent on people fussing with each other anymore. So being likable is a wonderful skill. And then being communicative. I find that the telephone is still the most powerful tool I have in my possession. But there's a lot of people that only want to use it for texting or for Facebook messaging, and a large part of the public still needs to hear there's a genuine human on the other end that's going to care about the outcome for them, and that's just the basic. I mean, being willing to answer the phone might set you apart out of that over 100,000 in a flat second, and I can't tell you how many realtors I've tried to call back that I get their phone voicemail, and it says, the voicemail you have reached is full. And I think, are you really in the business if your voicemail is full? Because I kind of doubt that. I need to talk to you right now, and I want to talk to you. And so going through that, if you already got the likable piece down, and if you're answering the phone and you're responding to people quickly, well, then what else sets you apart? And I think that the best realtors are educators at heart, and you've already described yourself as somebody who educates your young buyer clients when they're on the hunt, and you get them there, and they know more about the process, and they find that house. That's a huge differentiator. And I don't think many realtors put ending or put it into their descriptions on their social media pages and on their website so that somebody will understand, when I call this person, I'm not getting a used car salesman, because realtors have a terrible reputation in the eyes of the public for being pushy, for talking people into stuff. And in reality, the realtors that I know are good-hearted people that just want to provide solutions. So how do you brand yourself? That's just what it boils down to. What conversations do you have? Who goes to bat for you? And that's how you stand apart, because most of them will fall out. And the stat is still something that blows my mind, that it's been true for all these years and still holds up, that 85% of people who get their license give up within the first 2 years.
Hey, our guest.
85%, because it's a hard business. It looks easy on HGTV.
Right.
That's not the real world.
Right.
And the crazy, you'll appreciate this, 71% of realtor members nationally, 71, were not in the business during the Great Recession.
Hey, our guest today is Lee Brown, and this is Let's Talk Land. View thousands of properties for sale at landhub.com. You got the best motivator in the real estate business right here. I mean, like I said, I've got three pages of stuff. You've actually done motivational speeches internationally, right?
I have. I was really honored to be the first instructor in Japan and in Cambodia for the International CRS designation. That's the Certified Residential Specialist, because over in the Asian countries, they don't have a lot of organized real estate education, and they are hungry for it. So the beauty of teaching over with Asian agents is that you already know over here, Lou, it's tricky to get 30 agents into a room for education because they just don't think they need it. But over in other areas around the world, man, people are thirsty for the knowledge, and it really is energizing to see people that just, they're just hungry for the information. I love it. But the most interesting place I think I've gotten to instruct was in Buenos Aires. I was in Argentina about 4 years ago, and they were just a capitalist market after having been socialist for some time, and there was no mortgage in the country. Everything was cash only. It was under the table. They call it the blue market and white market instead of the black market like we do here.
Right.
And I went into real estate offices, and they had those old cash counting machines that you might remember from
My drug dealing days.
It was something else. I love seeing those things because it reminds me how well we have it here in America with private property rights and with the opportunity that we have. Everybody should have the chance to travel overseas and get an attitude adjustment sometimes.
It's quite. What's the gist of your motivational speech? What's your topics?
Well, it just kind of depends. I find that for realtors, most people come to real estate from something else. Just like Teresa, right? So you can't spend your whole life just eating bonbons on mama's couch and then decide in your medium years to do something else. And for most people, the appeal of real estate is that you're your own boss. You get to decide what hours you're going to work. You get to decide who you're going to work with. And then suddenly you find out that you get to work 24 hours a day and you don't get a day off. And sometimes you mind it and sometimes you don't.
Amen.
You have a lot of discipline, because if you come out of the corporate world, you had a boss there telling you what to do and what forms to turn in and how you had to do things. And real estate is so free that a lot of realtors just need structure and guidance. And so for a lot of my educational pieces, I'm giving them some nuggets to help them get a foundation built so that they can put that entrepreneurial spirit to work, but actually have some results to show for it. Because if you are that one-man band, you're still a business, and sometimes in a people world, we forget that the business has to have structure.
So give Teresa a few nuggets here.
Okay, well, what kind of nuggets you need? You have to give me some guidance. Let me talk for 3 days. Teresa, what's your biggest challenge besides branding and differentiation?
Well, I guess the biggest challenge is me time. I have no me time. I mean, my phone rings from the moment I wake up until 10 o'clock at night. The other day, I was getting ready to show up. I had told this girl about this house that I was wanting her to look at, that had been looking. And I told her I was going on vacation Friday, and she called me Friday 1 hour before I was supposed to leave. And she made an offer. So I had to get her financing and get her offer in and everything and meet my friend to go to the beach in 1 hour. So do you set rules about having time for yourself? Is that okay?
I'm so glad that you said a challenge, not just for realtors, but this is a challenge for most humans nowadays because we're in a 24/7 world. And the public expects you to be there 24/7. So what I always refer to is that there is no such thing as work-life balance. There's only work-life management. And the way that I can get any kind of freedom is you first of all have to have some kind of a partner in the business, whether it's another agent that you trust or it's an assistant of some sort. It's not necessarily about having to be a broker yourself, but just to have somebody that can back you up. And there's so many good realtors out there that can backstop each other, for lack of a better word. Just a couple hours a day or half a day a week could get you time back with your spouse or your kids. It is really valuable because realtors are the first ones to give up vacations, and they give up date night, and they give up time with their kids because they're chasing one more deal, because we do love our clients. And you know, in a market like comes on, if you don't go see it within a couple of hours, it's going to be under contract and multiple offers, and they'll have missed again. And so we don't have the luxury of saying, well, we're going to see it in 2 days because the house will be gone. And knowing that we have constraints like that, that's where I highly suggest a backup person. But I also do tell my clients, though, there is nothing earth-shattering and life-threatening about real estate. So there's no reason to call me at 11 o'clock at night. There's nothing I can do for you at that time of night except not sleep, and then I'm worthless the next day. So I tell people, I get up at 4 o'clock, and if you want to talk to me at 4 o'clock, then we can talk, but you probably won't like me until I've had some coffee, had my devotion, and had my run. And so I do start talking to clients at probably 6:30 to 7 o'clock. My early birds are glad to get it out of the way. But then I let them know that I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock, and we can get a whole lot done in the hours that I'm awake. Rest, and when you're newer in the business, the temptation is to say, oh, my gosh, they've emailed me. It's 10:30. Let me go ahead and just answer it and wait, and they don't have to wait till the next day. Well, if you tell people you're available at 10:30, they'll continue to message you at 10:30. Then they'll call you. Then they'll text you. Then they'll abuse it. You got to tell them, I have to rest. I have to look at my spouse with my phone out of my hand, and I can do a better job for you in that way. And when it comes to vacation, you've already discovered that's the easiest way to make money in real estate is to plan a vacation.
Amen.
It beats all I've ever seen. You fixing to get on a cruise boat where there is no signal. Everybody you've ever talked to about a house is going to suddenly need one right this minute, and that money is burning a hole in their ever-loving pocket. It is classic. It's across the country. It's across price points. It's been every single time you try to do something. Tell them that, all right, we can handle A, B, and C by technology, and then I'm going to hand you off to Jane, who's going to cover me on D and E. I'll be back in 3 days, and I'll handle the rest. But that's where you go back to what I was saying about systems. If you have checklists for your business and you know exactly what's coming next, and your best realtors do, so a really savvy buyer or seller is actually going to ask their realtor, how organized are you? Because your best realtors are actually organized, and the rest of them are kind of playing it by ear. They store tons of information in their brains, but they just don't know how to get it on paper. Well, if you've got it on paper, you can tell your buyer or seller how you're going to take care of them while simultaneously taking care of yourself. But I'll tell you as well, I think you're right about my age, so you don't have little tiny people in the house anymore, but you probably have somebody you like to eat supper with every now and then, and you might need to shave your legs and make them happy once in a while.
Right.
So then you tell somebody, I'm on a Friday evening because I have from 5:30 until 8 o'clock. Don't text me. Don't call me. You can't find me. Because they'll survive for 3 hours. And then if it's urgent, you can deal with it after supper. And you'll find that it's not as urgent as they thought.
You know, Lee, you're a best-selling author, several books. One of them is called Seven Deadly Sins of Sales. Lee Brown will introduce you to the classic mistakes salespeople make and will provide you with techniques and ideas for correction. At the end, a more professional business and a happiest clients on the planet. How does that apply to what Teresa's wanting to do?
Well, it's interesting that one of the seven deadly sins of sales is actually not answering the phone. It's not communicating with people. And so when you're wanting to solve a work-life management issue, part of the reason realtors wind up in this hamster wheel of working 24 hours a day is just simple communication. I have a kid playing baseball this weekend. I'm going to be at the ball field. Well, people don't mind if you have a life if they know. I don't do business on Sunday mornings because I'm at church. Well, they'll leave you alone when you're at church. And you'll find, too, that the people who demand to have access to you 24-7 and say, well, I don't care if you're at the ball field. I need this. And you can skip church and walk out. That's nobody you want as a client. That's somebody else's client. Because as we like to say, there's a butt for every saddle. And so if there's a butt for every saddle, you don't have to fit in all of them. And if you set some guidelines, it lets people know whether or not they fit into your business. And this goes back to what I said right at the first, where we're micro businesses, right? And so we have to have guidelines for our client base. And it's not that you're eliminating anybody based on fair housing characteristics. It's do they fit into the hours of operation that you have, and do they communicate with you in a way that y'all can work with each other? Because I don't know why we have this generation that thinks it's everybody else and everybody has to be best friends with everybody, because we weren't made that way as humans. There's people you connect with and people you don't. And the sooner you know who you are and how you communicate with people, the more successful you are in sales, because the public wants to know you. And they respect it when you have guidelines, because it tells them what to expect. It's like teenagers in the house. Remember having teenagers in the house?
Yeah.
They behave better when they know what time curfew is and they know what's expected of them than if you just let them run wild. And that's no different in any kind of sales. In real estate, it's just pure sales because it's just us. But you could be selling office supplies, and it doesn't matter what you're selling. You have to be able to communicate how they're going to reach you and when you're going to be available, and then fulfill those promises. That's the second half of it. If you said you'll be available to talk to them at 7 a.m., pick up the phone at 7 a.m. Don't wait until 9 to call them.
Yeah, I call that eat the big frogs first, because there's always something that,
exactly,
that you don't want to do for whatever reason. And I always teach my students, and because I've been taught, eat the big frogs first. So when you get up, the first thing you do is handle the thing that's going to ruin your day and get it behind you. And that's one of my flaws. Hey, you know, you got another book, too, Outrageously Authentic, and that's pretty much what you just described. Do you feel pressure to always be on when you are in sales? Do folks cling and shy away from you when they find out what you do for a living? If that has happened to you, join me and learn how to be outrageously authentic. So these are good stuff.
Well, I find that today's world has told us what you have to believe and what you have to say, and I'm, as much as anybody else, so anxious to please. Salespeople by nature are pleasers. Sometimes we hide who we are, and we start making apologies for it because you won't be happy. But the problem is, when you know who you are and what your beliefs are and what your values are, and you just let it lay out there, you're going to attract people that are interested in that. And again, you're not going to please everybody, but the authenticity also tells them that they know who you are, which means they're going to trust your opinion, they're going to trust your advice, and they're less likely to think that you're pushing them or selling them something they don't need, because again, that trust factor gets really high if they know that you're real and you're not just running around there all the time saying, hey, do you know anybody that needs to buy or sell a house? Because we've all met that kind of realtor that wears the big giant name tag everywhere they go, and people say, oh God, here comes a realtor, and they run. Well, they should want to talk to you as a human, and then they find out you're a realtor, and they're like, oh, you're a realtor? Well, they already like you, so now you're three steps ahead of your competition because you were yourself first.
Oh, that's a great point. I really like that.
We want you
favorite,
to be...
Well, it's not my favorite. My most horrifying example of this ever, I was at a funeral one time at the church I grew up in, and I was assisting the family because I'm an elder in the church, and I was helping with the, you know, Kleenex and stuff. And I saw the receiving line, this realtor comes down the receiving line, and I love her. She's a wonderful human. But she had on a name tag as big as Texas with her name and her company on it. And I was like, sister, of all times, you do not wear your big real estate name tag to a receiving. That's just tacky. I was embarrassed for all of us. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I didn't have any way to tell her, so I just let her sink her own ship.
I love it.
Hey, our guest today is Lee Brown, and this is Let's Talk Land, landhub.com. Sell your land, land for your dreams. So, Lee, you know, you're the best motivational person in the industry. That's what I've been told. And now that I've had a chance to spend some time with you, I'm starting to see that. Give us some more nuggets for Teresa. Teresa, what's else on your mind? This is your show.
Okay, here's one. I had a client call the office, and they wanted to see a property. And we went out to see it, and then they said, well, I have an agent that lives 2 or 3 hours away. And I'm like, okay, how do you handle that?
Well, what you really want to say is, well, bless their heart, because they're not here. But, you know, we can't say that because now the word's out on the street what bless your heart means.
Right.
So now we just have to say, well, let me pray for them because they're not here. And while you're grateful that they do have a connection, the difference between an agent 3 hours away and the one that's here is that your best local realtors know the entire picture. They know if there are DOT things in the works, zones are changing. They know if there's zoning issues. They know water issues, power issues, climate issues. They know stuff. And especially if you look at, like, North Carolina, just in a three-hour radius of where I am in Concord, well, that would take you into South Carolina. Well, I'm licensed in North and South Carolina, but I don't go much further than Rock Hill because that's the extent of my knowledge base. And so if I try to sell something down at the beach, I'm putting my clients at risk. If I go up to Raleigh, you're hanging out with politicians, I'm going to put my clients at risk because I don't know that market. Within 3 hours, I can be in the mountains. Now you're talking a different kind of dirt, different kind of water and sewer situations, different kind of density. I'm putting my clients at risk. And so what you want to tell them is, as much as you love and respect other people with licenses, it's only the really localized person who knows the entire picture. And that also means that you quickly have to get yourself as educated as possible so that you can be that most educated realtor. I'm always an advocate for realtors to volunteer with the Realtor Association, and especially in the government affairs committees, because that's where you find out all the different political issues that are going on that realtors have a hand in, whether it's flood zones or, well, there's this giant issue that's cropped up out in Fayetteville where the sewer infrastructure for the city is aging because it was built back in the 40s and 50s. Well, that's really expensive stuff. And in this one neighborhood, the primary sewer line died, and it was that piece between the houses and the street. The city has determined it's on the homeowner to fix the sewer line. And you're talking old houses in an old neighborhood, which means you have some old people living in there on fixed income that don't have thousands of dollars. And that's the kind of stuff that a realtor from out of the area would not know. But the locally connected realtor says, we have to make sure that we structure a contract to protect you, because I'm your a long answer to your question, but what I would also say to that person 3 hours away is stay in your lane. And if I have somebody in your market, I'll be glad to send you a name. And if you have somebody in this one, I'll send you a referral fee, because realtors have wonderful relationships all over the market, and we compensate each other with a portion of the commission a lot of the times, because we want to take care of the relationship, and that means taking care of the client and being as studious as possible about where we work. That drives me crazy. It's just like realtors who do houses 99% of the time, and then they want to go sell this one industrial warehouse. Well, industrial warehouse is an entirely different kind of real estate than the house where you're going to have grandma over for Thanksgiving dinner. And so I'm going to call a commercial specialist and make sure that my clients get the best professional guidance possible. And if I want to learn it, well, then I'll get them to mentor me and I'll go learn it with them, but I won't put somebody at risk in the meantime.
So would you co-list with someone that specializes in that just so that you can, if you have the lead, would you co-list just to get the experience, or is...
It would depend on the property. So I'm 20 years in the business, right? So at this point, as I go to learn things, I'm pretty comfortable saying I don't need to be in the driver's seat on this stuff. I just want to come sit in your pocket and learn.
Right.
But if it's in the neighborhood right next to me, I might co-list that where I can lay hands on it, lay eyes on it, and really get familiar with it. It just depends. But I would never try to do something by myself for the first time because there's too much legal liability.
Right.
Boy, do I want to learn. I love learning new stuff. And I had a commercial listing last year, and it was, I knew enough to be dangerous. And I think that's probably where realtors get themselves in trouble. They know just enough. And I said, I don't know quite enough here. So I called a commercial broker, and I said, will you co-list this with me? And actually, then we can expose it to two different, and we can really do a great job for that particular property owner. And he said, absolutely. And he took the lead, and I just drank up the knowledge. But boy, howdy. I mean, a little bit of humility goes a long way in everything in life, and especially in real estate, to say, I don't know, but I've got somebody who does.
Right.
And clients need to learn how to ask that question. How much do you know about this property in this area?
Well, that leads me to code of ethics. You know, we're a self-policing industry, one of the oldest code of ethics documents in any industry in the United States. In Article 11, and I'll be a little braggadocious, you know, it says realtors should not be involved, and I'm paraphrasing, should not be involved in a real estate transaction that they do not have proper training or education. And if so, they should involve someone that does, that has the proper training, and disclose that to all parties. And then it goes further to talk about the specialties, and it says residential, commercial, property management, appraisal, and so on, but it never had the four-letter word land in it. Until 2008, when I brought that up to RLI and got it before the Professional Standards Group. And after 2 years, it was adopted, and land is now a specialty. But, you know, there's no land education, Lee, and you know that. I'm the only land instructor with the only land class in the whole state of North Carolina. And, of course, I teach the two-day class for Realtors Land Institute. I have done that since 2003. But people don't realize I helped create the 502 form land information worksheet. When you list a home or sell a home, buy a home, you have a residential property disclosure form. Well, there was nothing for land, so I got on the NCRCA Commercial Forms Committee back in 2008, and we created one. But there's 73 issues and observations. So my point is, you know, there's a lot of realtors out there, and one of their friends has some land, they want them to sell it, and they know nothing about it. They should involve someone like myself.
No, they stick a sign in the dirt and kind of hope it plays out, and they don't.
But
have
that's not benefiting anyone.
Water and sewer and density and zoning and on and on.
So the lesson here, if you're out there, listing audience, if you're a realtor or real estate agent, make sure you don't get involved in stuff you don't know about and involve someone that should be. Follow the code of ethics. If you're a realtor, if you're a real estate agent, you're not involved in code of ethics. If you are the public out there, you know, you don't go to a brain surgeon to get your toenails clipped. You know, you want somebody that knows what they're doing because it's money. This is matters of consequence. So anyway, I'm going to get back to Teresa. What's your other concerns, Teresa?
Well, I see here that she's got Learn Genuine techniques that will increase your profitability and allow you to build a team that will all work together towards common goal. Can you elaborate on that some?
Well, the profitability part is actually important, and I get a little bit irritated with the license authority in North Carolina because they think all real estate education should revolve around consumer protection. And I personally believe that a profitable, well-run business realtor is going to protect the consumer better than one who is flying by the seat of their pants and is in financial trouble. But I haven't won that battle yet. I'm still working on it. But I look at profitability as the agent who's taking care of their business. And we have realtors who don't realize when they get in, and you may have experienced this already, when you're in a normal job with a normal boss and a W-2, your taxes get paid for you, and you might have a tax refund when it comes time to file, and you can use Quicken and H&R Block, easy peasy. When you become a realtor, you're a 1099 independent contractor. You had to pay quarterly taxes, and that sneaks up on a whole lot of people, including me. So my first year in the business, I sold a lot of houses, and I had a great year, and I got a bill from the IRS after my first year for $1,000. And I said to my daddy, who's a retired realtor, I said, "Daddy, what do I do with this?" And he said, "Well, that means you had a good year," because that's classic realtor talk, of course. "You had such a good year, you owe the government 5 digits. So I had to set up a payment plan, and I said, "I'll never do that again." And you want to think about your business in terms of, what's the return on your investment? What are you doing to effectively market and advertise properties to keep your clients happy and bring in more business? And if you're doing something that's not working, you got to be able to cut it. Because realtors have a hefty dose of ego. We are very good at promoting ourselves. And sometimes realtors go broke on that. And so they're not watching the bottom line because that billboard looks so good. Oh, I look good on that billboard, and people are seeing it. But if nobody's calling from your billboard, you might be just throwing money down the drain. Same thing with advertisements and magazines. If you're not very targeted about what you're doing or have a good message, you might not be generating business. And so you have to be a hawk. And especially in times like this, with this pandemic going on, we're definitely in some uncertain waters. We don't know what market's going to look like in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years. And we've got coming issues probably with inflation and with some liquidity in the financing markets. That's coming. Well, when that is in the future, very potentially, you need to be stockpiling every penny you have, which means get a business credit card. Watch all your expenses. And if you see something on there that you signed up for at $39 a month, $79 a month, $99 a month, and you're not using it, get rid of it. But I find that realtors are so anxious to please. They're like, "Well, I signed up for it, so I'm not going to cancel it." And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you are throwing your money away." So get really hawkish.
Yeah. What about when people ask you to decrease your commission?
Nobody asks me to do that anymore because of the branding that I have out there. So I'm a big video marketer. Any of my channels, I put a lot of marketing out, and I share a lot of information about real estate, about life, just about stuff. And this goes back to that authenticity piece. So if people know who you are and they know what you provide, they know the kind of realtor you are, you'll find that they'll spot your value. And if they see the value, they don't ask you to work for less than you're worth. They know that when they call me, they're not calling a less than full price broker. They're going to get a full-on, hardcore marketing experience, and so they expect to pay for that plus my experience. But what I did find in my younger years, when I was not as well known, didn't have the market share that I have now, they do ask, "Will you work for less than you just asked me to pay?" And my answer is no.
See?
And that's as simple as it is. If you start explaining yourself, you're dead.
What about, have you seen that commercial that's been running on TV, since you're just a couple hours up the road? You may have. I think it's on Channel 12. And they're saying, "Call us. We'll get a professional real estate agent to sell your house for 2%. I've been seeing that commercial
lately. All I can say is the person that's calling that trying to save money is not going to call me. The person who calls me needs a professional. They want a concierge turnkey experience, and they want to absolutely have a professional problem solver in their corner. The person who's calling off TV to save a couple $100, they are looking to squeeze the bottom line. You and I both know those are the clients that argue over repairs. They start hiding things on the disclosure statement, and so then you're in a whole different set of water. So you've got to decide which business model you are. Now, in the marketplace, there's always somebody that charges less than me, and that's fantastic because there's Walmart in every market, and there's somebody that goes to Walmart. But there's also a Nordstrom in every market, and somebody who's willing to pay more for a different level of experience. And you just have to decide which version you are. But there's too many realtors out there that are charging a Nordstrom price, and they're providing a Walmart level of service. If you're going to charge a lot of money to a consumer, you better deliver a lot of value, and they need to know it. So I I tell my clients, I'm like, here's what's going on, here's what we're doing. I don't hide the process from them. If we're having a hiccup, I tell them about the hiccup because they need to know that I'm working even when they don't see it.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
I give good service for a good fee.
Yeah, well, I've talked to Lou about it before, and he just says, I don't reduce my commission. I said, okay.
No, I mean, it's just a matter of your definition of the value you bring.
Right.
And like I said, there's nothing wrong with agents that charge less. I'm concerned about agents that charge more and provide less.
Yeah.
You just have to decide which end you're going to fall in and then build it up and stick to it.
Hey, this is a good time with the time we have left. Tell us about your Lee Brown U.
Well, I designed Lee Brown University to provide agents with more training because in the real estate business, there's a tendency for agents to go to licensure school and get their license, which gives them the law of real estate, but does not give them a lot beyond that for how to actually be a practitioner because there's two different things. And we have so many people entering the business now that I don't even blame the brokers out there who aren't able to provide a lot of guidance because the brokers are inundated with new people. And frankly, if you're in a class of 30 new agents and they handed you a binder, there's only so much you're going to get from that. And so it's designed to be on-demand learning from a top producer. So I'm not just telling them what somebody else did. I tell the things that I have done that have made me successful and that have made my clients happy. And they can watch it in their pajamas and learn how to do it soup to nuts. And so how do you work with buyers and what do you do? How do you handle after the closing has happened, and there's marketing and social media, all these different angles, because real estate is it's an interesting profession. You're really having to do about 12 people's jobs in any given day, and that can be overwhelming. And so that's why I designed it, just to give more structure and more support so that agents can make a living and make it, because as you know, we need more agents in the business. We always will, because people age out and retire and quit, and so we need good people, because not one of us can handle the whole market.
Right. Is it online or is it in person?
It's LeeBrownU.com.
Okay, so it
it's
is.
All
it's
online,
all online.
So you can do it in your yoga pants.
Cool.
And it's in 12, well, I think it's in maybe 10 or 11 different modules. There's a basic course and there's an advanced course for the realtor that's trying to go next level. And probably shouldn't even call it basic. It's just foundational, I guess, is probably a better way to put it. But, yeah, I enjoy putting it together, and I love telling people how our business is a profession of abundance, and I think the best realtors share with each other. They do what Lou does. They go out and find gaps in the paperwork and make it better, and they teach classes and volunteer and make us all better because not one of us has a corner on the knowledge. We just got to share it with each other.
It's like this old land business. Teresa, what was the slide they put up in one of your 30-hour broker classes? What did it say?
That land is the most complicated transaction of them all.
And then what did the instructor say?
When I asked her why that was, she said she didn't know.
She couldn't tell you because it was so complicated?
Yeah.
That's our industry. We got more work to do, Lee.
God bless.
So,
but we learn the law. I mean, that's what you go to real estate school for. It's exactly what you said. You learn how to stay out of trouble. You learn the basics of how to stay out of trouble.
And you still get
in
trouble.
You still get in trouble.
And we teach you how to do the business.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you got Lee and me and others like us around to help you out. And we love doing it, don't we, Lee? There's nothing better than sharing what we do. I would teach every day if I had the opportunity. But give me some opportunities out there, guys. You know, I call these.
We need some in-person classes to come back. I'm so ready for this virtual world to end, but we're on the home stretch. I have to believe we're on the home stretch.
Yeah. Well, you're not teaching now, and I'm not either. I know I've got a bunch of stuff lined up, and it's all been postponed. But you know, that's just what it is, and that's okay.
It is. I mean, nobody expects a global pandemic, just like nobody expected the Spanish Inquisition, right?
You're right.
Or the Great Recession. All right, with not a whole lot of time left, give us some more knowledge. We got a few more nuggets for Teresa.
All right, Teresa, tell me something else that's got you hamstrung.
Okay, I walked into a house recently, and the person had just, like in the last, well, actually it was in October, bought a home. and they had paid a certain number for it, and they had put a new roof on it and put new flooring in it, and now they want $100,000 more for it. And I ran comps and I told them what the property was worth, and they were very disappointed. And I said, well, I mean, you're still going to be making a profit. You're just not going to be making what you had hoped for. But I really wasn't sure exactly how to handle the situation, because people think their property is worth so much. And how do you let them down gently? I mean, I told him maybe he should get an appraisal.
When I meet with any property owner, I always ask them, do I have your permission to tell you the truth?
Yep.
And they'll tell me yes. They always want the truth.
Of course.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, Teresa, they knew what their house was worth, but they were hoping somehow in your match bag behind ankle on the house, and suddenly it'll be worth more, because today's consumer is very educated. They've been on the apps and the tax website. They know fully well. They're just hopeful. And so they're disappointed because they just had their hopes knocked down. And so when I ask permission to tell the truth, they say yes, and I can say, look, Code of Ethics, Standard of Practice 1-3, it's my key in every listing presentation to explaining how an ethical realtor behaves. It says, a realtor in attempting to secure a listing shall not deliberately mislead the consumer as to its market value. And I tell them, I'm like, if I lie to you, if I don't give you all the knowledge I have, then I could lose my realtor status, I could lose my license, my children won't eat, I won't have any shoes, and we'll all just starve to death. And it's very serious like that. But they don't realize that pricing is actually in the Code of Ethics, and I highly recommend that you just do what I did and memorize Standard 1-3, because, and then I remind them that the market doesn't care what they put in the house, and certain things are maintenance and certain things are upgrades, but regardless, dollar for dollar, sometimes it takes time for your value to come back to you in a house. And so if y'all don't like today's number, you can wait a year. I'll still be in the business. I've got 12 years left on my mortgage, and so for at least 12 years, I'll be available as your realtor. Year 13, I can't promise for, but for the next 12 years, I can give y'all updated numbers until we get to the number you want. If you want to sell now, all we can do is get what the market gives you.
And just provide
your
comps.
More explanation, if they still look hung up, just ask them if they own any stocks. Do they own anything in their 401k? Yeah. All right, well, if Bank of America stock is selling for $50 a share, I'm not going to find a buyer that's going to pay $75 because it's worth $50. Even if the person selling that stock wants more, they just have to wait until the market price up. And it to be in North Carolina, because we have so many people in the financial markets here, including the people who have made money on Food Lion stock from Salisbury. I think Food Lion made more millionaires in North Carolina than anything else. And so you find a lot of rural people who are fully educated on the stock market, and you remind them of how markets work, and they're like, I know, they know, Teresa, they always know, they just didn't want to admit it.
Well, I didn't realize that it was in the Code of Ethics, so that was...
Standard of Practice 1-3 says, yeah, you shall not deliberately mislead. And, you know, when you're pricing a house, you're going to be in a range, because if you look at the comps, it's not an exact science,
right,
and there's adjustments
right
to be made. And, of course, market conditions can lead to a premium. Like right now, we have low inventory levels, and so houses may pull a premium above the comps, but it's not going to pull an insane premium. But if you show them that range and you show them all your data to back it up, and they in that range the house, because you know it's out of line. And if you know it's out of line and you list it, then you're deliberately misleading them, because we all know the minute you see it in the multiple with a price on it, they get married to that number and they don't want to come down off of it.
Right.
You know, the same thing happens for land. Ron Loftus, Loftus Appraisal in Winston-Salem, a great friend. I had taken his wife to take in my land class when I first taught at Winston-Salem 5 years ago. And he called me up a couple years ago and he says, I teach for the North Carolina Board of Appraisers. And if you're an MAI appraiser, you also have to have a realtor's license. And, of course, they have continuing education as well. And he said, would you write a class for me for the North Carolina Board of Appraisers on land? I said, I'll be happy to if you'll do the appraisal side. So I did, he did, and the class was Rural Land Values, Is It an Art or Science? And we presented it to over 85 appraisers in the class several years ago. And we went through all the different issues, sinkholes and what happens down east and flood and soils and fencing and old barns, what are they worth, and, you know, tax values and this value. And really the only value is what the buyer is willing to pay and what the seller is willing to take. And all the rest of it is just an opinion. You can get in five appraisals, so you'll have five different numbers. You can do 10 CMAs, you'll get 10 numbers. You can look at tax cards. What's tax card? When was it appraised? Who appraised it? Did they even come inside the home? No, they don't. I mean, so, you know, the bottom line for you guys out there, the value is whatever the seller's willing to take and the buyer agrees. That's the simple formula.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
absolutely. You just, but you have to be able to hold the line when you know it's out of line with the market. And that's the key of being a realtor who's doing the research and doing the homework. We all know when something's out of line, and then you just tell your buyer, if you have the buyer, you just tell your buyer, just wait. Eventually they're going to get the price in the right place, or they're going to get to keep it. Unless you want it badly enough to overpay for it, and that's got to be your personal decision.
And people do that for different reasons, you know. It's
absolutely. Their motivations are different. And you as the realtor shouldn't define their motivations, but you give them all the data and all the information, and then they can be adults and make their own decisions.
Yep. About one more good nugget.
One more good nugget. How about all these vendors that call every week wanting to sell me leads? What do you do with those?
Bye. Your best leads are going to be the people that are saved in your phone, the people who have you saved in their phone. And unfortunately, we've gotten away from that aspect of real estate, which is that your best realtors are connectors and they're relationship people and they know people. They go to the grocery store and they speak, and they go to have coffee and they speak, and they go to church and they speak, and they're just out and about in front of people. Those leads that you buy online, when you call them, you've probably experienced this. They will yell at you and cuss at you.
Robocall.
Put me on your do not call. And they're angry because nobody, especially in 2020, right now, they're getting inundated with political calls because the candidates can't. So your phone is off the hook if you have a landline, which I do because I love my landline. If a realtor were to call me, I would. My son likes to answer the phone, and they really don't want that because he's turning 14 next week. But you think about it, you're calling the wrong people. And so right now, we're coming out of a pandemic. We've got a lot of local businesses trying to stay afloat. This is when you can call people and check on them and maybe have some gift certificates or some desserts dropped off from your local restaurant just as a kindness to them. I would so much rather spend $6 dropping off two custom cupcakes from the Sweet Life, which is in downtown Concord across from my office.
I love that.
I'd rather send somebody a treat than ever buy a lead online because right now, especially right now, people are in a weird place. There's a lot of fear and a lot of concern and a lot of panic. And so if you're the one that puts a bright spot in their day, that goes a whole lot further than buying a lead from an online vendor.
Lee, I love that. That's great.
You know, Lee, you're quite a talent, and we're so pleased to have you on the show. Now, I'm going to have to listen to Risa for the next 6 weeks about this show and what she's learned. And I really want to ask her another question. You know, I really want to get some more information. But, you know, you got two great books out there, Outrageously Authenticity. I can't even say the word, authenticity.
So many syllables. I made it real true.
Blah, 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 blah. And then the seven deadly sins of sales. And you've got your school, which is fascinating. Now, that's where you need to go. She's got some great stuff on there.
Yeah,
okay?
That's where I'll start.
All right. And then, you know, you need a motivational speaker when we can ever get together again. You know, put Lee on top of your list because she can deliver. And it's been so great to have you on our show. Tell us how they can get in touch with you.
Well, of course, you can find me on any of the social networks, which we all have to be out there nowadays, but my main website is just leebrown.com, and from there you can either search for listings and for my real estate services in the Concord and Charlotte area, and there's also all of my speaking and training, and there's a ton of free resources on there. So, Teresa, there's a lot of stuff that will help you build some foundational tools for your business, just easy on there to download. It's on the resources page because I love to share, and anybody has a question or wants to give me feedback, you feel free to reach out because I monitor all of my own stuff because I do think social media is supposed to be social. And I look forward to connecting with anybody that would like to connect. And, Lou, I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I appreciate what you've done over the years for the land profession, including getting a seat on the Professional Standards Committee at the National Association for the Land Professionals, because that gives a voice in the room. And that's a big talk in the world right now is having a voice, and sometimes it takes somebody opening the door. So thank you for being the one who opens doors.
Been a great pleasure. Stay around. We're just going to close this thing out, okay, Rodney?
All right.
Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or comments as well. Now, on the master website, www.letstalkland, we will have Lee's contact information, her email, and her website. We don't put phone numbers, but you can get through that way. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All of our shows are downloaded after the show today on our master website, www.letstalkland.net, Podbeam, and Spotify. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call me or text me at 336-209-2937, or my email is teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com.
And mine is Lou, L-O-U, at mylandpro.com. My phone number is 336-669-1405. Hey, our sponsor is landhub.com. If you're looking to buy or sell land, landhub.com previews thousands of properties nationwide, even for sale by owners. Rodney, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website, Lou. They can go to WKTE1090.com, and also they can download the Simple Radio app.
The Simple Radio app. And that plays where?
Everywhere you go.
Even the universe?
Yes.
If you're on Mars or something?
Oh, of course.
Wow. Yeah. Some Martians out there listening, huh?
Yeah, I hope so.
And we only play beach music and oldies, right?
That's right. Only happy music.
Only happy music. So if you want to be happy, you know.
You got to tune us in.
Yeah.
If you want to stay sad, go somewhere else.
Okay. And we've won some awards, right?
Yeah, that's right. 5 years in a row of being the top beach and oldies radio station on the East Coast.
The whole East Coast, Maine to Florida.
That's right.
Wow, that's impressive. And you got a nice award.
Yeah, the 2019 Reader's Choice Award for Announcer of the Year.
You're going to get another one?
I hope so.
Well, we'll vote for
you. You might be in there in the running.
Oh, well, Teresa will get it before I will.
I want an award.
You want an award?
To hang on my wall. You've got a million of them.
Yeah. Don't be bragging. Hey, stay tuned for Dr. Barber. He's always got something to say. Lee?